This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City, by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links and a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them in the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
Operating a successful farm takes more than hard work and determination. It takes smart decision-making from every angle. That's why more farm families turn to Farm Credit each day for all their financial and crop insurance needs. Our 96 years of experience has helped us become more than the nation's leading ag lender. In addition to our specialized staff of ag professionals, we've also developed a unique range of financial products and services that you can use to help manage the financial side of your farming business. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farm families. When you demand success in every field, Farm Credit is the financial expert to turn to. For more information, call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Have you been waiting for a great deal on a new Chevy car or truck? Now's the time at Smokey Jennings Chevrolet. They need to sell 20 more new vehicles by the end of June, so they'll be giving the best deals of the year. Stock number C371 Silverado Extended Cab with savings of $9,000. $2,000 off Chevy Equinox V6 models. Prices good through June 30th on in-stock vehicles at Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra, your Chevy truck store since 1946. Chevy runs deep.
First of all, in our farm news on this Thursday morning, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, July wheat trading at 658 and a quarter, down 5 3/4. September wheat 677 and a quarter, down 5 3/4. July corn now trading at 604 3/4, down 7. September corn trading at 559 and a half, down 9 1/4. July soybeans trading at 1438 and a quarter, down 8 1/4. August beans trading at 1427 and a half, down 9 1/2. The overnight crude oil market, 82 cents lower at 80.61. The Brent crude, $1 lower at 91.69. The August gold contract, $15.10 lower at $1,600.70. The U.S. dollar index, 0.029 higher at 81.605. Yesterday on the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat closed at 664. That's up 14 and a half. September wheat closed at 683, up 14. December wheat closed at 706, up 12 and a half. July corn yesterday closed at 611 and 3/4, down 3/4. September corn closed at 568 and 3/4, up 1 1/4. And December corn closed at 566 and a half, up 3 cents. July soybeans yesterday closed at 1446 and a half, up 12 3/4. August beans closed at 1437, up 15 3/4. September beans closed at 1410 and a quarter, up 12 1/4. July soybean meal yesterday closed at 427.40, down a nickel. August meal closed at 424.10, up 14. September meal closed at 418.60, up 35. July soybean oil yesterday closed at 50.81, up 37. August oil, $51, up 37 cents. September oil, $51.19, up 37. July oats yesterday closed at 325, up a half. September oats closed at 302 3/4, down 4 cents. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois Country Grain rises ended mixed on Wednesday afternoon, with soybeans and wheat moving higher. Traders were still concentrating on the hot and dry extended weather forecast to support prices. Wheat was also supported by good export interest. In central Illinois, Country Grain dealers quoted show corn bids mixed at 642 to 650. Soybeans gained 11 to 12 cents at 1434 to 1448. And wheat prices up 14 to 15 cents at 639 to 662. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids ended mixed at 633 to 663. Soybeans gained 12 cents at 1435 to 1455. And the wheat price is up 11 to 15 cents at 654 to 679. In the St. Louis area, Country Elevators and Mills report those corn bids mixed at 643 to 649. Soybeans gained 9 to 12 cents at 1437 to 1448. And wheat prices up 9 to 15 cents at 640 to 662. Illinois River Bartletting Elevators quoted producer corn bids mostly steady at 643 to 650. Soybeans gained 9 to 10 cents at 1457 to 1459, and the wheat price is up 12 to 14 cents at 656 to 660. East St. Louis Bartletting Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 6 to 9 cents lower at 648 to 656. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 5 to 10 cents with quotations at 1468 to 1470. Soft red winter wheat up 9 cents at 669 to 670, while the Milo dropped 4 at 573 to 574. That is our Country Grain Report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, July hogs closed at 94.75, down 35. August hogs 92.15, down 62. October hogs closed at 81.55, down a half dollar. June cattle yesterday closed at 116.60, down a dime. August cattle 117.10, down 40. October cattle 121.32, down 17. August feeder cattle yesterday 152.75, down 85. September feeders 154.77, down 42, and October feeders 156.15, that was down 30. Once again, we go to the Department of Agriculture for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
Well, this is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Wednesday. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt daily direct afternoon hogs, negotiated purchases of bears and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 5,200 head today. They're trading $3.42 higher from 88 to 106 with a weighted average of 99.35. And in Illinois today, there were 6,050 head of bears and gilts sold. Primal cutout value for a loin was down 39 cents today at 97.02. Illinois direct slaughter sale and bull report. Sows traded steady with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from 43 to 45, 4 to 5 weights from $44 to $48, and over 500 pounds from 47 to 51. Illinois direct bears and gilts traded steady again today from $63 to $68. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Wednesday. Hogs are at 398,000 on the day. That's up 1,000 from last week and down 7,000 from last year. Cattle are at 124,000 on the day. That's down 2,000 from last week and down 6,000 from the same time last year. The USDA's estimated box beef choice cutout values, there was a total of 194 fabricated loads and 55 trim loads. Choice carcasses were up 6 cents at $1.98 flat, while selects fell 81 cents at $1.8022, leaving the choice select spread at $17.78. At the Greenville Livestock Auction, the opening report for Wednesday, they estimate 650 head on offer. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers are trading steady to a dollar lower, and Holsteins were not tested early. Choice steers from $1.19 to $1.20, while select and choice cattle are at $1.15 to $1.18. Choice heifers from $1.19 to $1.22, while select and choice heifers are at $1.15 to $1.18. Thank you. Again, this has been Joe Massey. Now back to the main studios of WSMI.
Spot dairy prices yesterday on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for butter, 154.5 unchanged. For block cheese, 162 up 3/4. For barrel cheese, 161 up 3 3/4. The spot price yesterday for Class 3 milk ended at $15.69. Here are the bids from Honk Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for June, $6.39, for July, $5.83. Corn delivered to Scottville for June, $6.39, for July, $5.75. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for June, $14.33, for July, $14.18. Wheat delivered to Scottville for June, $6.34. For more information or to confirm the bids, you can call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield and Scottville, $6.39. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $14.33. Wheat at Scottville, $6.34. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday. It's been brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color Radar shows no precipitation in the immediate listening area. This check of Color Radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
We know that every minute M&M Service Company can save you on the farm means more time to spend with your kids. That's why M&M Service is your one-stop source for farming, information technology, value-enhanced grain programs, diesel fuel, propane, grain handling systems, and so much more. At M&M Service, they are dedicated to making your time in the fields more productive, more profitable, and more efficient. Because they're a family operation too, they understand how important it is to spend more time with your kids. For more information, visit their website, M&MService.com. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Carlinville Truck Equipment is the one name you need to know for truck and trailer repair. Plus, they have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. For help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, see Carlinville Truck Equipment. You can count on Norm Craze and his staff for fast, dependable service. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 1900 North University, Carlinville. Call 854-6706.
Partly cloudy skies across mid-Illinois for your Thursday. There's a 50-50 chance of a shower or a thunderstorm. High temperatures in the upper 80s with light west to northwest winds. For tonight, mostly clear. Low temperatures in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, Friday, sunny skies. The high in the mid-80s. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy skies. Lows in the low 70s. Highs in the low 90s. Right now at the Weather Center, south winds at 7 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is steady. Our temperature, 71 degrees under partly cloudy skies. And that's a check of Color Radar weather on this Thursday morning. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro. The Montgomery County Fair opened yesterday at the fairgrounds in Butler. They held the Sheep and Goat Show. In some results from the Sheep Show, the champion Oxford was shown by Jacob Sadoff of Oakford. Jacob also showed the champion Suffolk Sheep. The champion Hampshire Sheep was shown by Brady Lingley of Greenville. The champion Hare Sheep shown by Lucy Reese of Jerseyville. And the grand champion overall sheep at the Montgomery County Fair was shown by Jacob Sadoff of Oakford. In the goat judging yesterday, the champion dairy goat was shown by Lucy Reese of Jerseyville. The grand champion meat goat was shown by Madeline Allman of Bunker Hill. And the best weather shown by Jenna McHenry of Petersburg. And the grand champion overall goat also shown by Jenna McHenry of Petersburg. In other farm news today, Wednesday, we talked to M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. He said rain is critical for the corn crop at this stage.
We are going through a period of high water needs for the corn crop during the tasseling and silking stages. If you look at any graphs, you know, it shows that water needs are the highest at this point. And, you know, unfortunately, or maybe unfortunately, we have so many fields, I've never seen it before, but so many fields that are tasseled and silking by the middle of June. So water usage is great right now. And studies have shown that the corn crop at that stage of growth, the tasseling and silking stage, needs up to about 3/10 of an inch per day. So, you know, you talk about this quarter of an inch of rain that we had, and certainly it's beneficial, but it may only last for a day or so. So we will continue to need water at this point. This is the time in the development of the corn plant where ear length is being developed. Now, in about V7, 8 or so, the number of rows of kernels have been established on the ear. But after that, when we get into tasseling and silking, that's when ear length is formed, the number of kernels per row. So that's why we continue to need good growing conditions to fill out that ear. If not, we're probably going to have pretty short ears this fall.
And then we're also going to need more rain after the ear is full to simply fill up the kernels, right?
That's exactly right. The amount of water available and the photosynthetic activity, it's directly related. And when we talk about photosynthetic activity, we talk about, you know, taking moisture and sunshine and producing sugars and starches, which obviously go into the kernel on the ear. So while those leaves are still fairly green and able to accept sunlight, we do need water to keep that photosynthetic process continuing in the corn plant. As I say, it's directly related. If you decrease water availability, you're going to decrease photosynthetic activity. You're going to decrease number of kernels, kernel size, and so forth. So it's all directly related to moisture availability at this particular time.
How long does that photosynthetic activity go on in a corn plant?
Well, it continues until physiological maturity is reached, which is somewhere around 30% moisture, probably a little bit higher than that, somewhere between 30 and 35% moisture, and while the leaves are still green. While the leaves can still accept sunlight, it still manufactures that. But then there's a dry down process after the leaves dry up. Then there's a dry down process, and I guess basically most of the dry matter is already farmed. But actually, that plant will continue to manufacture these sugars and starches while the leaves are green, while the sunlight is able to be accepted and water and nutrients are being absorbed by the plant.
Is that a quality of the hybrids anymore? It seems like I've seen and heard of guys shelling corn with the leaves are still green and shelling dry corn.
Well, this is true. You know, there are some hybrid differences. You know, we hear and talk about you know, the stay green ability of some of these hybrids, which means, you know, as the name indicates, the plant is able to stay green a little bit longer and absorb and, you know, produce this photosynthetic activity. So there can be a hybrid difference to some degree.
That was M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. 8 months of above normal temperatures and drier than normal conditions in May and early June have many worried about this year's corn harvest. Could it come up short? Some are wondering just how short and if today's corn hybrids are better capable of withstanding a drought. Todd Gleason reports the ag economist at the University of Illinois did the numbers to see what might happen during a widespread U.S. drought.
The ag economist at Illinois took a look at three recent drought events to see how today's corn hybrids yielded. Now, the first observation is the 2011 yield of irrigated corn in Texas. Irrigated corn yields in Texas tend to deviate by relatively small amounts from the long-term trend, typically only plus or minus 10 bushels to the acre. Of course, that makes sense, especially to the Illinois ag economist, because irrigation removes the main limitation to dryland corn yields, summer rainfall. From this perspective, the decline, then, in irrigated corn yields in 2011 in Texas is nothing short of astonishing. The actual yield of 133.9 bushels was the lowest since 1983 and a 33% drop from trend. Now, the drop was due to the extreme drought conditions in Texas last year, which were so severe that many irrigation systems simply did not have the capacity to keep up with the water demand of the corn plants. It is a dramatic demonstration that modern corn hybrids are still susceptible to very hot and dry conditions. The second observation is the 2012 yield of corn in Argentina. Since the yield series represents dryland production, the deviation from trend can sometimes be quite large. The 2012 estimated yield of 95.1 bushels is a case point. The yield was 24% below trend. Now, one can argue that the production practices are comparable to those in the U.S., and the hot and dry weather conditions in 2011-12 that occurred in Argentina were not as historically extreme as those that occurred in Texas last year. The first two observations established the not-too-surprising result that corn yield remains susceptible to drought conditions, but yield still may have been better than if those same conditions occurred, say, 20 years ago. And this leads us to the third set of calculated observations the Illinois Ag Economist explored. They used data from 1960 on to set up a model. The model allowed them to normalize yield data and then to look in recent years for differentiations. Those were found in 2002, 3, 7, 10, and 2011 in the Illinois 9 crop reporting districts. The model suggests yields in those five dry years were roughly 4.4 bushels better than expected. If you restrict the model run to just 2007, 10, and 11, then the change is nearly 10 bushels better than expected. The take-home message from the analysis is twofold, write the Ag Economist on the FarmDoc Daily website. U.S. corn yields are likely somewhat less susceptible to drought conditions than in the past. And two, a Corn Belt-wide drought would still lead to sizable yield reductions relative to trend. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
In other farm news today, the latest problem farm families have with the Environmental Protection Agency has been the discovery by Senator Mike Johanns that the agency was using aerial surveillance to spy on Midwest farm operations. Now the National Federation of Independent Business has gotten into the fray. Indiana State Director for the NFIB, Barbara Quant, says the government is treating farmers and ranchers like terrorists.
We're treating farmers like they are Taliban insurgents. What legal authority can environmental regulators conduct police-like or military-style surveillance missions over private farms in the United States?
Ms. Quant calls this the latest in a series of regulatory pressures that targets farms and ranches.
The thing that really strikes me about this, too, is that since when did small family businesses become the enemy? We are treating the job creators of this country like we are the enemy. We've seen several different proposals coming out, regulating dust, treating spilled milk like it's toxic waste, taxing farm and animal waste, the poop tax, as we called it. It's just, what else are they going to be thinking of? And this, to me, was so outrageous, it couldn't possibly be true. Unfortunately, it is.
Ms. Quant says the National Federation of Independent Business is encouraging farm families to contact local and federal lawmakers to voice support for putting an end to the flyovers. Senator Johanns introduced an amendment to the farm bill that would ban EPA's use of aerial surveillance. Work on the farm bill continued in the Senate Wednesday. The vote on final passage of the measure is expected later today. Majority Leader Harry Reid had actually expressed hope the Senate would finish the bill Wednesday. They did not quite get that far, but several additional amendments were voted on. Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn was successful in his attempt to limit subsidies for millionaires and raise premiums for farmers with an adjusted gross income in excess of $750,000. But Coburn's effort to reduce funding for the Market Access Program and restrict the use of program funds was unsuccessful. The amendment was opposed by 80 members of the Coalition to Promote U.S. Agricultural Exports. In other news this morning, a former Clinton County elevator owner, already sentenced to more than a year in federal prison for fraud, has now been ordered to spend 3 years in the state lockup. 48-year-old John Kniepman of Breeze got the latest sentence Tuesday. The judge also ordered him to pay more than $1.3 million in restitution. The latest prison term is to be served simultaneously to the 15-month sentence he got earlier this month on related mail fraud charges. Prosecutors say Kniepman admitted he fraudulently increased an insurance claim by more than $34,000 and defrauded a bank by selling $87,000 worth of grain that was collateral for a loan taken out by his businesses and then hiding the sale. The Illinois Farm Bureau plans to send 18 farmers to Cuba this month as part of a long-standing campaign to lobby for the normalization of trade with the island nation. Vermilion County farmer Kevin Green is one of those. He said the group plans to meet with members of Cuba's Agricultural Import Agency, port authorities, and other officials. The trip is June 28th through July 2nd, Green Farms near Fithian. The American Farm Bureau Federation's state-level organizations have regularly sent groups of farmers to Cuba for years as part of the group's lobbying to end the 50-year-old trade embargo against Cuba. Farmers see the country as a potential market for rice, chicken, and a range of other crops and livestock. Day two of the Montgomery County Fair today on the docket. At 9 o'clock this morning, the Open Jackpot Beef Show will be held. The MMA weigh-in is tonight at 7. And on the grandstand tonight at 7:30, garden tractor pulls. We'll have the afternoon farm show from the Montgomery County Fair in Butler today about 12:45 on both WSMI, WSMI-FM 106, and join WSMI's Tobin Ott for broadcast this afternoon and this evening from the Montgomery County Fair. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat right now trading at 6.59, down a nickel. September wheat trading at 6.78, down a nickel. July corn trading at 6.05, down 6 3/4. September corn trading at 5.59 3/4, down 9. July soybeans now trading at 14.39 3/4, down 6 3/4. August beans trading at 14.30, and that's down 7. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.